Welcome to Samaria Christian Church. Glad to see each one of you here. Glad to be here. Glad to be up and at 'em. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers. Thank you for this wonderful man coming down the aisle here right now, and his love, and his lovely wife. Thank you, Larry. You did a great job last week. I haven't got to hear it yet, but everybody's told me how good it was, so I thought I'd better get back here before I lost my job. So, have an announcement here to make. This is from Otis. Men's mowing crew, next Saturday, time, place. All right, these guys, they mow the ground out here. We got a bunch of acres here, so have a fairly new mower. I think this is the second year for it, and we appreciate that. So next Saturday lunch for the mowing crew, and this Wednesday is the men's and women's Bible study here at 6 o'clock, and you have your bulletin and prayer list, so please keep those folks in your prayers. And thanks again, Larry, for preaching last week. You did a great job according to everyone. And I've gained about 10 pounds this week. We've had some really good food brought in and really, really appreciate it. And just can't thank you enough. So let's stand and sing praises to the Lord, victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is new Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is new Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is new him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Good job. Good singing this morning. I think you did your best. Love Lifted Me is our next song here.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All right, greet some folks around you for a few moments. In 1981, the Academy Award-winning film was Chariots of Fire. It was based upon the true story of a young man named Eric Liddell. He was a Scotsman. He was actually born to missionary parents in China, but he went back to Scotland for his higher education. He was a runner. He was a rugby player. But he was, most of all, a great runner. In fact, he was referred to as the Flying Scotsman. When the Olympics came along, 1981 in Paris, he was going to run a couple of races. His best race was the 100. But he found out that the 100 was going to be on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. And he refused to run in that 100-meter heat. And everybody tried to talk him out of it. The Olympic Committee, even his own teammates and coach, they tried to talk him out of it, but he would not run on the Lord's Day. That's how dedicated and faithful he was and believed in the laws of the Sabbath that are taught in the Old Testament, and he just would not run. He would not budge. But he did run in another race, the 400, on Thursday following that. And that was not his best race, but he actually set an Olympic record, and he won the gold medal in doing so. The title of that film is based, of course, on this text in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. But actually, the word chariot of fire is used earlier. It's used in the second chapter and the 11th verse. That was when Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was caught up into heaven in kind of a carousel of fire and flame and chariot, caught up into heaven as one of God's greatest prophets. Then Elisha, his successor, comes into where our story is now. Elisha was his successor, but he actually received a twofold spirit of Elijah's. So you kind of get them mixed up sometimes, but this Elisha was quite a guy. He was a great, great prophet of God. There's nothing in his history, nothing in his background that says that he was anything other than a great man of God. In fact, this is the first place in the Bible where anybody is called a man of God. I hope that when I'm dead and gone, that somebody will say, well, he was a man of God. I can say Larry McAdams is a man of God, and I mean that. He really is. And we have several great men here and women who I could say without fear of exaggeration are men and women of God. Most of you are familiar with Perry Anderson. Perry's preached here several times, and he put a deal on Facebook this week. He said, you know, I hope someday I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. He said, I'd be happy to hear, hey, you knucklehead, get on in here. And there's some truth to that too, isn't there? But here is this man, this great prophet, Elisha, a man of God. And he is worth more to a nation, any man of God is, than any weapon. Our great need is to have our eyes open to the presence and the reality and the might of spiritual forces. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said in chapter 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against forces. It's against evil. It's against the prince of darkness and all that he is doing in this world. Our battle's not against men. Our battle is not fought with weapons of steel. Our battle is a spiritual battle, and we need to open our eyes to see that there is a spiritual battle going on in the world. Now, I want to just look at this text. It's fairly long, but it's worth the story, and I'll just comment on it. The king of Aram, and if you have a King James, it will say Syria, but Syria was not in existence till about 200 years after this. And so both are correct. It's where Syria is today, at the area of Damascus. The king of Aram, and we assume that is Ben-Hadad, because he's mentioned later in this same chapter. The king of Aram was at war with Israel. Israel's the northern kingdom. And after conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. He was getting ready for battles against Israel, against God's people. But the man of God, that's Elisha, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king that he was on guard in such a place. In other words, every time the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, every time he set a trap, every time he had a plan, a battle plan, Elisha, this man of God, informed the king of Israel. And so his plans were thwarted. The reason being is that Elisha had inside intel. He knew what was going to happen. So he goes ahead. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? He said, there's a traitor in the camp. Which one of you guys has got a mouth that's open? Which one of you guys is letting something slip out here? This is frustrating. So they all denied it. But one of them said, none of this, my Lord, said one of the officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. So he knows what's going on. Again, that's inside intelligence. Go and find out where he is, the king ordered. Go so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. That's in southern Alabama. No, that's in northern Israel. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went at night and they surrounded the city. They found out where he was. Dothan is north of Damascus. And I read an interesting thing. One commentator said this is believed to be the place where Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers down into Egyptian bondage, into Egyptian slavery. And of course, that was God's plan all along. So, but anyway, that's where this is. This is kind of north of present-day Damascus, the city of Dothan. So the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, he surrounds this city with this huge army, chariots, horses, and there was a young man who was sort of the assistant, the helper to Elisha. And listen to what he says. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Now, what he saw was horses of flesh and chariots of iron. And he said, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? We're surrounded. We're in big, big, big trouble here. The servant said, what are we going to do? Don't be afraid, Elisha said. The prophet answered, listen to this. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We know who will win the final battle, don't we? We've read the last chapter. This title that was given to this film was based on a poem, and one of the lines of that poem, the last line of verse 3 in that poem says, and bring me my chariot of fire. And that's where the film people came up with that title. But of course, that came from 2 Kings chapter 6. Bring me my chariot of fire. It's like we know who's going to win, and we want to be on the winning side. So then he says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. First time he saw horses of flesh, chariots of steel. Then he sees horses and chariots of fire. Wow. The enemy came toward them. Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So they were all blinded. And he led them. I won't go into the rest of this, but he led them into the city of Samaria. And he opened their eyes then, and he freed them. He let them go. It was an act of great kindness. But that ended the war between Ben-Hadad and Israel. So this act of kindness actually paid off. It's a wonderful thing when you do something right and God honors it and makes it right. So from this place, from this page in Isaiah's life, Elisha's life, we see a striking power of the presence of spiritual forces. We see a demonstration of the power of spiritual forces. We wrestle not against flesh and blood again, the Apostle Paul said. We know the power of material forces, don't we? We've been reading or watching the news, and we see the rockets and the missiles and the drones, the torpedoes. I heard on the news that one torpedo that sunk one of Iran's best ships, best Navy ships. This one torpedo cost $4.2 billion, but it did a lot of damage. It's hard to imagine, and that's an expensive bullet, any way you look at it. But the things which are seen, the scripture says, are temporary. They're temporal. The unseen things, those are the things which are eternal. That's where we need to focus our thoughts and our minds, on unseen things. Our great need as a nation, as a church, and as individuals is to have our eyes open to the reality and the presence and the power of spiritual forces. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with the world. In Ephesians chapter 6, I've already mentioned a couple of times, the Apostle Paul talks about the weapons of the armor of God. He talks about our protection. I don't really have time to go into all of that, but again, he says we're not fighting against the flesh. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting evil. So we need to have our eyes open. In chapter 1 of Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, open our eyes. May the eyes of our heart be open. Our eyes, our heart has eyes, believe it or not. May the eyes of our heart be open so that we can see what's going on in the world. We can see spiritual darkness as well as the good things that we receive from the Lord. Well, let's look at three things very quickly. Let's look at the nation's spiritual forces. Going up on the wall and the rampart, we can look around and see that there's a lot of difficult things going on, a lot of hard things, a lot of bad things going on. As we look out, we could see an army threatening our very nation's life. It's in the past, we have stood on moral and spiritual foundations. This nation was founded by men of great faith. You know, George Washington, our first president, wrote his own prayer book. He was a man of great faith. Now, not all of these men were, none of them were perfect, of course. Not all of them were deeply spiritual, but most of them were. And our very Constitution, our very foundation is based on these principles. In the 11th Psalm, a question in verse 3 is asked. It says, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me tell you, folks, I think the foundations are being destroyed. And we are the righteous, and what can we do? Well, we need to have our eyes open, for one thing, and we need to fight these battles, not with weapons, man-made weapons, but spiritual weapons, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of the Word of God. You know, when Paul lists the weapons, the armor of God, four of those weapons are defensive weapons, the breastplate of righteousness. But when he gets to the fifth one, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the main one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our offensive weapon. We need to preach and teach the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God. We live in a nation of great division. We have some people that are so far left, so liberal, that I just can't even comprehend their thinking, where they're coming from. In the past, we've stood on moral and spiritual foundations. And even now, there's a major crime committed every 25 seconds. There's a murder committed every 40 minutes. There's a vast underworld of people who are seeking to destroy our children and their schools. It's estimated that $236 billion is made in human trafficking, sex trafficking, just in our own country. It's a lot because of the breakdown of the home. It's because people are not thinking right. The foundations have been destroyed. We want to cry out with this assistant to Elisha, what are we going to do? Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? But we must have a focus, and that focus is with the Lord. On occasion, when Sennacherib, he was another Asian or Persian leader, was threatening Jerusalem, Hezekiah said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." This is in 2 Chronicles 32:8. "Do not be discouraged. Even though this king had a vast army, if God is on our side, we win. If God is on our side, we will be victorious." Next thing I want us to look at is the church and spiritual forces. The church and spiritual forces. We see hostile forces against the church. The man on the battlement there said, "Watchman, what of the night? What are we going to do?" But remember what Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You know, our churches are not as strong as they once were. I grew up, some of you grew up, we had Sunday school and Sunday morning church and Sunday night church and Wednesday night church and prayer meeting. And those days are gone. And I worry about it. But again, I'm not all that discouraged because Jesus says his foundation is there. And it's a very important one. And I was I saw on a news item a reprint of the speech that President Ronald Reagan gave years ago, where he criticized the Soviet Union and he called it an evil empire. And boy, I tell you, he was criticized big time for it. It was amazing. And he when he was asked about being criticized, he said, "So what?" He says, "So what?" He said, "They've murdered millions of people, their own people. They've murdered millions of their own people. It is an evil empire." And then he quoted this French philosopher, teacher, Alexis de Tocqueville. And he said he had come to visit our country, and he said he was searching for the genius of America. And he said he found it in the churches. He found it in the churches. Here's a quote from him. He said, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the greatness and the genius of America." And he said, "America is great because America is good. But if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." William Penn said, "If we will not be governed by God, we will be governed by tyrants." So there's no room for anti-Semitism. There's no room for any kind of ethnic or racial hatred. And even though we were praised by this French philosopher years ago, America is far from perfect. We know that. But let us pray for the salvation of all of those who live in this country and in nations around the world in total darkness, that they will discover the joy and the knowledge of God and how wonderful that will be. Then let's look at our personal life and spiritual forces. How many armies seem to have us surrounded? We all have temptations every day, don't we? Say yes, Shan. Yeah, we have temptations. There are pitfalls. There are snares. There are sorrows. There are sicknesses. There is suffering in this world. And when we see some of the things that we see and watch each day from the news, we ask with the watchman on the wall, "What shall we do?" Well, what we shall do is live for Christ. What we shall do is use those weapons, especially the weapon of the Word of God, as an offensive weapon. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith is what the scripture says. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember, there was a storm on Galilee. But we also remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? You may not have the ability or the personality of an Elisha or a Paul or John the Baptist, but you can share your faith. You can stand up for that which is right and stand opposed to that which is wrong and evil. We need to pray, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Remember the cross. Look at the cross. See the cross. The God who reigns on high knows who sits in the White House and who will. He knows the future, and he knows all about the war in Iran, and he knows our hearts and our minds and our faith. So let's open our eyes and live for him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder of the fact that there are spiritual forces at work that we may not see, even as there are evil forces at work in our world. And we thank you, Lord, that there are those who, like Elijah, are men and women of God, people of great faith, people who love you, people who worship you, people who serve you. We are so blessed to be a part of this small congregation where there are people who are faithful and who believe in you and believe your word. Help us to be bold in our faith, bold in sharing our faith. Help us to remember that our battle isn't against each other. It's not against even the evil that we see around us in the world. It's not those people. It's against Satan and his wiles, his schemes. Help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us to keep the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, in our hands. Help us to march forth as onward Christian soldiers. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this little song, There's Room at the Cross for You? It's an invitation song. If anyone has a decision for Christ, we'd be glad to meet with you and worship with you or help you as you move forward. So let's sing this good old hymn.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcomes a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for putting up with me today. Thank you for being here last week. Larry had a good crowd last week, and thanks, Larry. You're the best. He was ready to go again today. He He gave me a couple of last chances to say, and we sure do appreciate it. This past Wednesday, I found out this morning, Fred, our very faithful servant, leader, elder in the church, runs the sound, lights, all that, had a birthday. And Dick was standing back there, Dietrich, and he asked him how old he was, and he said he was 66. And I said, well, Fred, compared to Dietrich, you're just a teenager. So, so all right. Dick, say a prayer for us, brother.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your will, your way. We thank you for this message today. Help us to leave this building and be the witness that you want us to be. We just thank you for all things, and it's in your Son's name we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him
Lord.
Jesus,
I put it in the bulletin for next week.
Trust him more.